And our gospel lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to thee, O Christ. Well, ever since graduating from college, which was well over 10 years ago, I have wanted to be a gourmet cook. I've wanted to be that person that can just whip up fantastic snacks whenever anyone stops by for a visit and serves sumptuous lunches and brunches and dinners that are a delight to all who eat them. For any of you who watch the Food Network, I've essentially wanted to be Barefoot Contessa. But that hasn't exactly happened yet. Following college, I told myself that I would become a gourmet cook once I took cooking classes and bought classic cookbooks. So I took cooking classes and I bought cookbook classics such as The Art of French Cooking by Julia Child and The Silver Spoon and The Joy of Cooking. Then I realized I needed proper cooking pots and pans and various cooking instruments. Because after all, how could I become a gourmet cook if I didn't have gourmet cookware? Well, a couple of years later, I was married, and my husband and I were blessed to receive virtually every cookware item we registered for. But we moved into a house that was built in 1977, and it had all of the original appliances. Our oven didn't work well, and neither did our stove. So I told myself, once we have working kitchen appliances, then I will become a gourmet cook. Well, this past fall, we updated our kitchen, and we bought brand new appliances, including a brand new oven and cooktop, which work perfectly. But then I realized that I have a toddler, and I work full-time, and I'm just too busy to cook. Once I watched a cooking contest on TV, and the woman who won the contest cooked and baked on a range from 1975 in a kitchen the size of a small closet with used cookware that she bought at garage sales. She had no formal cooking training or education, and I didn't see a single cookbook in her kitchen. She also had a full-time job and kept apparently quite busy, but yet she is a gourmet cook. So by now you're probably catching on to the fact that the primary reason that I am not a gourmet cook is because I keep making excuses for going all in. I keep putting conditions on committing to do the things that I need to do to at least become a gourmet cook. And in today's gospel reading, we see conditions that are raised in response to fully committing to following Jesus. And in this passage, Jesus reminds us that discipleship is not on our own terms. So our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Luke, and in this particular passage, Jesus is journeying to Jerusalem. He's on the road to Jerusalem, where he will ultimately come to the end of his earthly ministry and be put to death on a cross. And while on this road, Jesus encounters three individuals, three prospective disciples, two of whom proclaim that they will follow him, and one of whom Jesus invites to follow him. And today I'd like to focus on two of these three prospective disciples, the disciples that I like to refer to as the "but first" disciples. Both of these disciples offer a "but first" condition to following Jesus. We meet our first "but first" disciple in verse 59. Jesus says to this disciple, "Follow me." And the disciple responds, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Now, burying the dead was a priority in Judaism and was considered a holy and binding duty of a son. So this would seem like a very respectable and reasonable request to Luke's first century audience. But in verse 60, Jesus responds with a rather shocking statement. He says, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Jesus' response illustrates that following Jesus requires the immediate reprioritization of one's life. God must have first place. Commitment to living as a disciple of Jesus takes precedence over family considerations, even noble ones. And we see this theme continue in verse 61, where we meet our second but first disciple. This disciple says, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Again, this seems like a pretty reasonable request to ask to say goodbye to one's family before embarking on itinerant ministry with Jesus. But once again, Jesus responds with a pretty harsh reply. In verse 62, Jesus says, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Jesus uses this image of a farmer plowing a field to explain that discipleship demands attention to what is before us. Like the mistakes that will be made if you're plowing a field and you look back, the field, what you're plowing, will become crooked. To look back as a disciple of Jesus risks being knocked off course. Jesus is telling us that we must keep our eyes focused on what is ahead, on Jesus who leads the way. And in his responses to the conditions that these two but first disciples propose, Jesus makes it abundantly clear that following him requires an immediate, all-in, full and unwavering commitment, and a likely sacrifice of things we may value and love. You're either a follower of Jesus or you're not. And this scripture has significant meaning for us today because every day Jesus calls each one of us to follow him. To follow Jesus means to die to our own wills and wants and desires and worries, and to live in God's love and will and grace. Being a disciple of Jesus isn't just one part of our lives, something like a hobby or a part-time job, but rather it requires all of us. It demands all of us all of the time. Jesus calls us to follow him in all aspects of our lives, to love others, including those we don't like, those who are strangers and who are different, those who live at the margins, those who the rest of society considers unlovable, to spend our money in accordance with biblical tenets and a focus on building God's kingdom here on earth, to spend our time intentionally and purposefully serving God and one another. Jesus calls us to model and advance kingdom values of unconditional love, peace, justice, mercy, forgiveness, compassion, and kindness, and to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit that we read about in our New Testament lesson this morning. And as his disciples, Jesus calls each of us to follow certain paths. The path for each of us looks differently because God has gifted each of us with unique gifts and graces. And frankly, for some of us, the road that he calls us to follow is easier for some than others. And I wonder, as we're talking about all this, when it comes to following Jesus, as we hear him saying, "Follow me," and we reflect and grasp all that discipleship entails, I wonder how many of us identify with the but first disciples. "God, I will follow you, but first let me make a lot of money. But first let me raise my kids. But first, God, let me go do my own thing, and then I will come back and do your will." Maybe we don't say "but first." Maybe we say "but God." "God, I know you are calling me to follow you, but God, I'm too old to walk the path that you are calling me to walk. It will just tip the scales of balance in my life. But God, I'm too young to do what you're calling me to do. I'm too inexperienced. I don't know what I'm doing. But God, it's just too hard to follow you all the time. I do a really good job some of the time, But God, it's just easier to just go with the flow and with what everyone else is doing and not make any waves and not ruffle any feathers. God, surely you understand, right? Regardless of how the but first manifests themselves in our lives, today's gospel reading calls us to stop offering conditions and making excuses when it comes to following Christ. Jesus is calling each of us right now in this moment to follow him, to stop having one foot on the path of discipleship and one foot on the path of this world, to go all in for him and to surrender all to him. And in return, Jesus gives us abundant life here in his love and peace. When we die to ourselves, we rise to a new life in God's love that we could never imagine. We become an active part of God's redemptive story, which is constantly unfolding in every moment before us in miraculous ways. I have experienced the abundant life that Jesus gives us when we follow him, and only because of the grace of God. When I heard the call on my life from God to attend seminary, I thought it was the craziest thing I had ever heard. I was a practicing attorney here in Dallas, and I didn't really know anything about seminary. And when I heard this call, I had a list of but God excuses. But God, I've already been to graduate school. But God, how will we manage on only my husband's high school teacher income? But God, what on earth will I do after I graduate from seminary? But God, what will other people think? Only by the grace of God and with the support of my family, I jumped in. And I didn't heed those excuses. And it's been the most amazing gift God has ever given me. It hasn't always been easy or clear, but it's been a rich path. God has placed me on a journey grander and bigger and more spectacular than anything I could ever imagine. God has faithfully led me into ministry in the local church. I have the privilege of leading a weekly worship service with the special needs community. I am invited to rejoice with couples on their wedding day and to grieve with families around a freshly dug grave. I work with a team that seeks to tirelessly love and serve as Jesus loved and served. My son is able to attend school here at the church and grow up learning about God and experiencing the love of so many people around him. I could go on and on and on. The life that God has given me leaves me in grateful and humbled awe. And here's the deal. Though the specifics will look different for each one of us, it is this abundant life, a life full of God's love and peace and grace that Jesus longs to give each and every one of us, if we will follow him. Jesus' call to us is clear. Follow me. Is it costly? Absolutely. But the cross cost Jesus everything. To share in the work of Jesus is to share in his sacrifice. We too must give up our lives to find life. And what we will receive in Christ is far more than we will ever give up. With Jesus walking beside us every step of the way, and with other believers there to support us, we have all the strength we could ever need. So I invite each of us today, in this moment, right now, to commit, to recommit to following Jesus, to really follow him right now, all in. No more excuses, no more conditions, no distractions, no turning back.